Well, Father God, we are so thankful that you sent Jesus to rescue us, to deliver us from our own selves, deliver us from the evil of this world, deliver us from our sins. We set aside this day, this season, to commemorate the birth of Jesus on this earth. It's an astounding thing that the King of Heaven came down to this earth for us, for mankind, and took upon himself the filth, the sin of this world, so we could have a proper, a perfect relationship with our Father, reestablished our relationship with our Father through Jesus, through the shed blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for this time. And it is a special time. The song is the most wonderful time to hear. You know, and when I think of that, Father, in July or August, that don't apply. But it gets this time, and it is the most wonderful time of the year, Lord, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for you loving us so much that you sent him. And help us, Lord. Help us enjoy these days. No matter where we're at or what we're doing, thank our Heavenly Father for Jesus and what he did for us. Came down, rescued us, saved us. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless the service, Lord. Help us. Help us to just ponder about Jesus. Help us draw us closer to Jesus in this time. And just not words. Help our hearts, our spirit, draw closer to him, Father God. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you came down to earth, Father. That you brought salvation. Such a free gift. Father, I pray that as all the visions that have been seen by different prophet and prophetesses about salvation going to different regions, different cities, different areas, I claim that over Benzie County. I claim, Father, that many will turn their life to you, that you will become number one in their life. I claim many souls for the kingdom. Father, I claim right now that, and we decree in the heavenlies, that your Holy Spirit will minister to so many people out there that are lost, that are hurt, going through different situations, Father, that you are their hope. And so, Father, we give you this service this morning. We give you honor in Jesus' name. The name above all names. Amen. I cannot exactly remember when it was, but Celia Droz, who ended up moving to kind of closer to the Saginaw area, she took Joe and I to this lady's house, and it was a husband and wife deep. And they had set their whole living room up as a village, the way it would look during the Israeli times, you know, like the way Jerusalem looked, and then they had an area that was Bethlehem, and it was just magnificent in the house. Didn't know the people whatsoever, but they were so full of the love of the Lord that even after we had the tour, I got so excited, and in fact, they wanted to donate that to this church. And I said, I don't know where I would put it in this church. You know, I mean it in disrespect, but there just wasn't enough space for it. It would probably cover this sanctuary as well as our fellowship area. It was just huge. And she really did feel that. And one of the things that excited me so much was she had a picture of Jesus And sometimes the pictures that we have of Jesus are going to be idols. Because we don't exactly know what Jesus looks like. But he is a Jew, and I'm sure he's probably got the darker hair. And that we can truthfully say. And he's probably got olive complexion, but you know, hey, I've seen Jews that don't have olive complexion, so who really knows? But on her wall in her home, she had that Jesus was the horn of salvation. And I got so excited about that, and I told her that very few people knew about the horn of salvation. They never knew that name. They knew him as Jesus. They knew him as Emmanuel. They knew him as Yahweh. They knew him as the bright and morning star, as our counselor. But very few people knew him as the horn of salvation. So I told you last night that as I got into the Word, the Lord brought me to where it is in Scripture, where he is the horn of salvation. Jesus came for one purpose, and one purpose only, and that was to save us. You couldn't be goody two-shoes. You couldn't try to make yourself perfect to be accepted by him. He accepted you. He invited you. He came to you. I don't know about you, but that should really excite me. To know that God himself came down in man form for us. For us. And to take upon all the sins that you and I have, still have, died on that cross, rose again, and he's coming for us again. I know about you. That's what Christmas is to me. That little tiny baby in a manger, how beautiful that is. And the Lord allowed me to talk to you about hope. But this year, he took me a little different direction. I did the hope part, but he wants me to talk to you out of the first chapter of Luke. Now, I want you to spend more time in that. Because really when you look at Luke 2, it talks about the birth and everything. But Luke 1 talks about Elizabeth, who was Mary's cousin, and how Mary went to visit her. And it truthfully, heaven came down to earth. Heaven came down to earth. I try to think of all the things that people are going through, hurts, troubles, all kinds of things. And when he came, he took them. He took everything. So we should be declaring every day, Lord, I'm healed. Lord, this is finished. Lord, I'm moving forward. Lord, I need your touch today. I'm claiming that today. And I kept on hearing this over and over again in the Spirit. One of the things that I want you to know, that even some of the songs that we sing, it wasn't a snowy time. But I really do believe that in my heart that Mary prepared the clothes, the swaddling clothes for Jesus. Any mama, when she knows she's pregnant, she starts doing all these little things, preparing all these clothes, getting these things all taken care of. And I believe that with Mary. I really do. But I want to kind of look at this morning. Mary traveled from Nazareth to the hills of Judea. One commentator that I've read and studied said that she probably traveled 50 to 70 miles. Now, I don't know about you, but when you are pregnant, you're not going to be traveling on some donkey 50 to 70 miles, going up and down the hills and bouncing and everything else. And I heard a male preacher say, oh, I'm sure she wasn't in any pain.
She was just
that the Holy Spirit took care of all the pain. Well, human part of me, the human part of being a woman, I think it was very painful. I don't even think that you could get cloth, saddles, whatever they had that you put on a donkey. Truthfully, guys, I don't think it would be padded enough. I really don't. But one commentator did say it was between 50 to 70 miles from Nazareth to Zechariah's home in Judea. So let's look in the Word for a moment. So Luke 1, and I want you to go back and read about it. Read it in more detail. But it was the days of Herod. Herod was cruel, evil, terrible. And Zacharias was a priest. He was a high priest. That was the position he had. Do you remember I told you that Zacharias was many times in the temple at that time? And he made sacrifices for the people. Now, when I stand before the Lord, my standing will be much greater than yours, because I'm accountable for what I say to you, and I'm accountable that you understand what I'm trying to get across to you. Zechariah took all these sacrifices for the people and presented it to God. Now, that's in the Word. It's not my opinion. And then it says in verse 5, his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Hey, you guys, we all walk before God. We are only made righteous because of the name of Jesus Christ, because of his blood that was shed. You and I can never do enough goody-two-shoe things to be righteous. But in the Word, I'm amazed. It said that they were both righteous. Now, the Lord graces me, gives me permission to be up here before you. But Joe and I work as a team. I don't always see that. So we both try to help each other be accountable before the Lord. That's important. That's why I like talking in marriages about the ring, about the band, about the completeness. It's not that, hey, look at my beautiful diamond that I got, and the guy's got the round band and whatever, and hey, take a look at this. It's the completeness. It's the circle. It is you, your husband, or your husband, and you, and God. That's a marriage. And I love that for what was said. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in age. So it was that while he was serving as priest, I love this. The Lord brought me to this last night. While he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, his calling, that's what you and I say today, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? That means your prayers. He took the prayers of the people at the incense area before he went into the Holy of Holies. And when you went into the Holy of Holies, only the high priest was allowed to do that. And just to tell you how, over the period of time, some of the some of the servants that worked in the temple, they touched the curtain, tried to go through the curtain, and they were killed. You just didn't get to do your own thing. That's why when Joe and I were started this church, we tried to, with the best of our ability, make this sanctuary a holy place unto God. That it was dedicated to Him. But they had no child. Verse 8, so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, or his calling, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn the incense. Okay, verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of the incense. Now, wouldn't that be something? I'm standing up here preaching. No, you guys should be praying. That's what it says. And I love this part here. Please don't miss this. Verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. So here he is doing what he's supposed to be doing, and an angel appears, standing on this the Lord said this was important, the right side of the altar. If you belong to the Lord is on the right hand of the Father. If you are on this side, you are on the right hand. It's important to know the right of the altar of incense. And when he looked and he saw this angel, he was troubled and fear fell on him. I believe that when I stand up here and I look out, I see angels in all of these empty seats. I have always felt that. Whether it sounds crazy to you or whatever, I'm good. But I just know that angels are present all the time. And I also believe that what the Lord has shown to many prophets and prophetesses is that you're going to be seeing more visitation. And you will have, okay, excuse me, I went back. But the angel said to him, hey, come on, man, don't be afraid. For your prayers were heard. When my pastor was training me, she said to me, Marie, every time that you pray, it's already heard of in heaven. You might not always see the results that you want. Because I don't know about you, but I want it to happen right now. Come on, I want it now, Lord. But it's already been heard up there. And I believe that you have the right today, and I've heard it over and over again, to decree, Lord, send your angels to heal. Lord, send your angels to come and be with me. Lord, send your angels to my family to do the work. Don't take that for granted. When angels are present. Some of you that's known me, I love telling that story. When the Lord, when we had a women's conference and it was at the Webb Hotel, it's called Webb something, in Ann Arbor. And the Lord said we had to baptize the woman that wanted to be baptized. Now, I've been in many conferences, ran many conferences, get to be speakers, know it's a privilege, but I never had the Holy Spirit ever tell me to baptize women that are all dressed up in a swimming pool. I heard it. I pondered it in my heart. Another gal came to me and she goes, you know, I know this sounds kind of weird, but the Lord says you need to baptize people in a pool. And we heard it from different people that I knew we could trust. So after the message and after the service, we baptized these women in this pool. And if you know me, you've allowed me to tell this story. And I remember seeing this beautiful balcony that was up, and I just thought it was part of like the exercise area, you know, like where you could go and, you know, you could walk around and stuff like that. This was a big, big place. And I saw people in white robes, but I really couldn't see their faces, But, you know, I just thought sometimes when the anointing comes upon me, I can't see it all anyways. So anyways, I saw those people in the back, and I really want you to hear this. And the one that was in the middle, they all had hoods on. And every time someone went, was baptized in under the water, and I baptized them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's some teaching that is out there today that you only baptize in Jesus' name. So there's a lot of false stuff going on out there. The Word says you baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is in the New King James mentioned the Holy Ghost. And every time one of those women went down and their hair's all fixed up, the whole shot, and they go underneath and they come back up, because everybody in here has been baptized. Some of them spoke in tongues, some of them were delivered, all kinds of things, some of them were healed. That wasn't my, I was just a part of it. I was just a vessel of it. This was for His glory. So anyways, most of you know my friend Edna. She's in her 80s now. And I said to her, oh, Edna, wasn't that exciting? You know, when you can talk to your friend, you talk about all kinds of things. And I said, oh my gosh, I said, it was so exciting that all these people got to witness this. 4 years, Edna never said nothing to me, because she knew how excited I was. She didn't want to hurt my feelings saying, what are you talking about? She never did that to me. Well, where did you get off on that? Don't some of us do that? Come on, let's get real this morning. Well, anyways, the Holy Spirit, we were together, and the Holy Spirit came, and He was so present in the room, you could barely stand. And she goes, Marie, there was never anybody that witnessed that. There is no balcony where that pool was at. I says, well, you're wrong. Maybe they remodeled. I saw, I don't even know how many there were, I'd just be lying to you, 25, 30, maybe more. And she goes, I just never saw that. I went back to Weber's myself. If you know me well enough, that's a part of the doubting Thomas I am. I got to see it for myself. And so I walked. They let me back in the area. And I looked where the pool was. There was no balcony up there at all. None. So I went to the front desk and I said, excuse me. I said, you guys, did you remodel in there? I beg your pardon? Well, did you remodel that area? No. I realized it was a visitation of angels witnessing, baptizing these women who are still in ministry today. When you were baptized, there were witnesses that watched your baptism. Powerful people. There was in this word here, an angel came to him, the high priest. And he got so scared he fell. When you are visited by an angel, whether someone thinks you're way out there or whatever, you will never forget it. It is so inside of you. And the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call him John. Now, can you imagine? I want you to get real here. They were both pretty old. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at this birth. Verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. When did you get baptized? When did you receive the Holy Ghost? Was it in your mother's womb or was it after? Really powerful. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Elijah said there are no other gods. During his time there were so many idols. And he proved that God was God. Come on. Are you strong enough in him that you can stand and say, God is God? Can you be a true witness? Are the witches and the demons and all the principalities of hell, are they scared of what's inside of you, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes, they are, yes.
Joe and I are going to teach that song to you, The Spirit of Elijah. It's a powerful song. We like it, don't we, honey? And the whole purpose was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Do you know how many fatherless children we have today? Unbelievable. We have no fathers in the house, or hey, they don't want to be fathers. They're being the buddies of their boys, the buddies of their kids. There's a teaching in that. Be the father. Be the authority figure. Be the example. And it says, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Oh Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. There are more kids, male and female, sexually assaulted by a father, an uncle, a relative. Today, it is huge. I'm praying for men to return to God. And Zechariah said to the angel, well, hey, you know, how should I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in ages. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. Come on. Gabriel is who came to Mary, came to Joseph, came to Elizabeth, the announcer of the message, who stands at the right side of is in the throne room all the time. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my word. Do you know what the Lord showed me? The Lord showed me that when we are disobedient to him, the blessings don't go forth. The promises don't go forth. He was mute. How can you stand in the temple and be mute? First people see who that is.
It long. Was on their mind.
Believe my word, which will be fulfilled in their time. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled and lingered in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them and could not perceive that he had seen a vision in the temple. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes you're not allowed to give what the Lord is trying to show you because it wasn't the right time. So let's see what the Lord is saying. So God was up to something big here. God was going to save the world. But in the process, He also bent low to answer the two elderly servants. Joe and I are getting older. I can't imagine an angel coming and saying, Amory, you're going to be pregnant, you're going to have a baby. And I go to Joe and he go, what? Come on, let's get honest here. When Elizabeth, and this is what is so important, and I want you to hear this. When Elizabeth met Mary and heard what God was doing, the unborn child in her womb leapt for joy. So when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, and Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, came to Elizabeth, whoa, that baby leaped in the womb. That baby already knew who Jesus was in the womb. Powerful people. This is the first instance of the ministry of John the Baptist in responding to the news of the coming Messiah, the unborn John the Baptist testifies to his own mother, and the Holy Spirit came upon her. Oh, did you get that? The womb, John received the Holy Spirit in the womb. Elizabeth hadn't received the Holy Spirit at all. The Word says, the unborn John the Baptist testified to his mother, and the Holy Spirit came upon her. So what you carry in your womb, what you pass on, will affect that next generation. Elizabeth then broke out in joyful exclamation while Zechariah was mute. He couldn't brag about his wife. And I love this blessed song. It's a happy song that spoke of the absolute fulfillment in the marvelous conception of Jesus Christ to the people, aware of the need for a Savior. In Elizabeth's song, we are given a Spirit-filled reply to Mary, which focuses on being blessed, having God's grace. Mary had God's grace. The first consequence of Christ's coming is a blessing on womanhood. I never thought I'd be a wife. Never thought I'd be a mama. Sure didn't think I'd be a grandma. And the Lord let me be a wife. And the Lord blessed my womb with two children. I was told I'd never bear a child. You see, when the Lord blesses the womb, the blessing goes forth. That's powerful. And I wanted to find that exactly where it is. Because it started in my Bible. I don't know if it started in your Bible. But it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. I've heard so much garbage out there. She was a virgin. She was a 14-year-old girl, just like our Aaron is here today. An angel Gabriel appears to her. The Holy Spirit comes upon her. She gets pregnant. Never being with a man. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. But the angel said, do not be afraid, Mary. And she accepted what the angel said. Where Zacharias never accepted it. So the Lord shut him up. And the Lord So Mary went to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth was pregnant with a baby, with John, and he was the one who's preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you guys, however. One verse under consideration is Genesis 3:15, in which God spoke to Satan, who had led her astray, and said there would be great enmity between a woman and a fallen angel. And a day is coming when the seed of the woman shall bruise Satan's head. Here we see God's word providing an early warning to Satan and a happy word of hope for every woman. The Messiah had come. The Messiah had come to Mary. I love that. When we bring forth children, they are a blessing from the Lord. You might not think so, but they are a blessing from the Lord. Mary, bearing the Son of God, had fulfilled the prophecy that was way back in Isaiah. You guys know that Isaiah, way back when it was prophesied that a Messiah was coming, here he was, the beautiful baby. And who were the people that got to see him the most? Or the first? The shepherds. The people that nobody cared about. Oh, I want to say something today. I want every woman in this place who has struggled with oppression and life, whatever experience has been bugging you and come against you, I want you to know that you can endure every storm and every pain because of our loving Father. I want everybody to know that, every woman to know that. Isn't that amazing? He chose a young woman named Mary to bear Emmanuel, in part to begin the healing of the soul of his cherished creation. Whoa! The greatest single thing that you can do for the healing of your own heart and your soul is simply to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He can answer everything. He saved you and me. I love Elizabeth's song because it begins with the first consequences of Christ's coming, a blessing to women because of the fruit of Mary's womb was the Lord Jesus Christ. The second consequence of Christ's coming was a blessing to the humble servants. The shepherds were the first to see him. You've heard me say that. They weren't even allowed to come to the temple. They were considered the poorest of the poorest. They were considered the trash. Isn't that something my Lord came to them first? I love that. I think it is so powerful to know that Elizabeth gave such honor to Mary. And yet Mary spent time with Elizabeth. Almost, if you read the word, I read it last night, almost just before she gave birth. She was the type of person envisioned by Isaiah when he wrote, "Once more the humble will rejoice in the Lord. Everybody who's needy will rejoice in the Lord because you will receive the provisions first." That is Isaiah 29:19. I don't know about you, this is a powerful blessing for you and me, that all who see themselves as unworthy, you see yourself as poor in spirit, if you see yourself as needy, the humble are blessed by the coming of the Lord. And in Psalms, the psalmist wrote in Psalms 18:27, "You save the humble, but you bring low those whose eyes are haughty." The Lord Jesus Christ taught the disciples this truth, and we read it in Luke 18, that he even shut one of the Pharisees up because he was not obedient to the Lord. I also wrote down here, there's something else here that's worthy of interest. Not only was Elizabeth humbled by Mary's coming, hey, she was excited. Hey, she was pregnant. She was probably 103 years of age. Come on, let's get real. I know that the Lord blesses the younger ones because they can tolerate the kids when they're goofing around more than the older ones. But Elizabeth was humbled because here was Mary who was carrying the Messiah. But note that she understood that she was chosen to receive the news. But why is this granted to me? Clearly, Elizabeth understood the Almighty had discriminated in bringing the news to her and not to anybody else. Her humility was all the more underscored by her understanding of the truth. God sent Mary to her, to Elizabeth. God sent John the Baptist to her. God sent his son to the lost sheep, you and me. God sent his lost sheep to Israel. God sent the elect sheep of Israel to Asia Minor, to Europe, and ultimately to every corner of the globe. Oh, it's powerful. The third consequence, and I'll finish with this, as it defines a family. In verse 44, it says, Elizabeth sang forth the truth that as soon as Mary announced the good news, the unborn, John the Baptist, leapt in her womb. The good news of the Messiah shaped the household of Elizabeth and Zechariah and probably changed their whole lifestyle. Let's get real. A little boy. One heard and rejoiced, and the Holy Spirit came upon her. Here is a glorious consequence of Christ's coming. Every member of a family is impacted by the announcement that the Lord is our salvation. I don't know about you, that's what I'm claiming for my whole family. I know most of my family, they accepted the Lord, but I want them to know Him. To know Him. When Jesus came, he impacted families with the gospel. It is true, as the Lord would say, that when one member of the family believes, there are times when others will not. But we have the right through Jesus Christ to stand for every member of our family to come to know him. You're accountable for that. I thank God that in his providence, when one believes, we also see that the whole family will come to Christ. That's our promise. Your kids sway away, stand in faith, keep on praying. They're coming home. The other thing I put down here is that when Jesus came into a house, he brings joy. My household is peaceful. Joe and I have gone to many homes. I feel it's utter chaos. I can't wait to get home. You should have music going on in your house. You should be full of him. You should be full of the joy of him. The light of Jesus should not just be here because you're here in church. That should be a part of your life. It should be your lifestyle. Christ needs to be the head of your household, and he will bring a peace and a joy where Christ is revealed. Come on. You let the world in, be chaotic. There is nothing more beautiful than a home where the gospel is embraced, where mothers and fathers love the Lord, where children love the Lord, and one encourages one another. That's important, people. Maybe you are a father and a mother that's a Christian and your kids are gone. You can still encourage someone else's children. Come on. And one of the things I never, ever forgot was my dad always encouraging me. Marie, you can be whatever you want to be. You just have to make up your mind. Gotta have the right attitude. Gotta be obedient. I still love my mom and dad, and they're gone. I still say good things about him and respect him. You want to live a long time? Stop cutting down your mom and dad. Maybe they did the best that they could do. You be better. So I wrote down here, Elizabeth adds her final blessed to the song, "Blessed is he who believes." Clearly Elizabeth was a blessing to Mary, but what for? For faith. What if Mary had not believed? What would have happened? She might not have fulfilled the specific purpose that God had for her. What about you? What does God have for you? What is your purpose? What is your destiny? Who are you reaching? Or is it all about me? Oh, look, and I'm going to go do these things. Or do you have a purpose in life to see someone else set free? That's what we're supposed to be seeing. That's what we're supposed to be praying about. Who can you touch? I wrote down here, Charles Spurgeon said, "A little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but a great faith will bring your heaven, bring heaven to your soul." I'll read that one more time. A little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. That is a good charge for this congregation, for this Christmas season. There are some of you who need to exercise faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Some of you need to turn to Him. Some of you need to start crying out and coming into that secret place that I hear so much of. Are you hearing what the Lord is trying to tell you today? I plead that the finished work of Jesus Christ, and by faith in Him alone, He saved you and me. So who is this baby Jesus? He's coming as the King of Kings. He's coming as the Lion of Judah. He's no longer the little baby in the manger. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we willing to move forth in what He has for us to do? He's just not a historical figure who lived that you can study. But He's alive today. And when we're so full of Him, we can have that joy, and we can have that laughter, and we can tell people the good news. Jesus is the one whom we search for even when we do not know that we are searching. He's the only answer. Joe and I have said that so many times. But in Elizabeth's testimony, her song of blessing, which comes to those who welcome the good news of Jesus Christ. That's good news. That's the only hope you got. Jesus, the Son of God, the dayspring from on high, the promised one, the horn of salvation, who came, who lived, who died, who rose, again, who ascended, and He stands in the midst, bidding every person, come to me. Come, I am the hope of this Christmas season. So may you have the joy of this Christmas season and the hope that He wants to bring you today. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
I don't know if even Joe wants to talk about it or whatever, but one of the things I never forgot was when baby Reagan went for her surgery, Sarah received a prophecy, came over her phone. And Joe, would you like to share that prophecy about the little angels?
I can't say that for sure. got this over the phone, someone that she really trust. She said she was praying, you know, they prayed together, praying about the surgery, upcoming surgery 2 weeks ago. She said what she saw was Reagan on the surgical table, and angels were like this, elbowing each other to get around the table, crowding in to get close to her. This is what she envisioned. She's seen this. She says they were just like, hey, let me in here. You know, like this. And I thought, that's awesome. You know, because they come from the presence of God. They carry the glory. They carry His presence. And so that was just an awesome thing to receive prior to the little bugger going in and not getting cut on the way she did. And but I want to say, I don't know if I told you this, they went, was it last Monday?
Monday
to take the cast off. You know, they were in there, and Sean says, you know, that both the little knees and the ankles and all that were all cut, all sliced. He says, you would use the amount of the length of them. He said, probably freak you out, Dad. But you know what? It looked like someone just drew a line on her. They were really healed up well. Like, it was like someone took a marker and you would say, hey, let's get that mark out there. But they were healed up well. The only negative you thought was her body, her feet was a little bit raw, you know. And but he said they looked good. And so they recast the dirt. And he said she did great during the whole thing. And, but anyway, it was kind of cool to think of a bunch of some angels. Get over here, girl. I want to be there. Let me in there close there so I can bring comfort and peace to her while she's going through the surgery. But that was awesome.
I wanted Joe to say that to you because Sean shared that with him. And Sarah shared that too. And I just really want you to know that there are angels all around you. You might not see them. And I think of baby Jesus being born, it says the multitude of angels that appeared in the sky. So many. And I'm sure that those angels, even like I was thinking of these little ones, maybe they were all around that manger scene. We don't know. We really don't. But isn't that exciting to know that there's angels not only around our Lord, but also around you and me every day. And something I just never take lightly.
I was digging through some drawers. We got tons of old cassette tapes, VHS tapes, and I found some family stuff, some stuff where she has collected for years. Sad and just a wealth of stuff that is just sitting in drawers. But anyway, one was I had tapes or DVD in it or CD because I never got past the cover. I read on the back it was John Kilpatrick. Do you know who John Kilpatrick is? Anybody?
One of the largest revivals. Way
back tonight. Well, I heard about the Pensacola revival in Brownsville. That's it. And he was a pastor there. Although it was started by evangelist Stephen Hill at their church on Father's Day. That's when it took off for like 6-7 years in a row.
Years.
People around the world came to there. You spoke of it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it was an older tape thing. And I looked on the back, and it's about angels. Because we were talking
about angels and the role God has for them. And we have heard people, like, they could, you know, speaking about commanding angels to do things. And I think that's totally against the word. They are His to command. We can ask. But anyway, that he said on there, he said, angels are, the word of the Lord is true. Something to that nature. But he said, angels are God's enforcement crew or something like that. And I thought, yeah, that's a good way of putting it, the way he put it. It's his enforcement. God sends them to enforce his word in our lives and on the earth and everything. We were talking, and I told, Marie asked me, she said, you pray about that, angels being here and there? And I said, yeah, I do, but I have a problem, you know, in my own mind when we talk about angels. The word of the Lord is powerful. That's the word of God. But how are we factoring angels in their, in his work? And then I found that thing, and I thought,
there's your answer.
You know, I have a problem. I told Maria, I said, I just have a problem. Like, gee, Lord, the word is your word, and it's powerful. It's living. And, but then we say, are we, like, hedging our bets? Say, Lord, your word is powerful, but send your angels to do it. You know, it's like copping out. In my own mind, I know it's not a serious breach of whatever, but yeah, I just had a, I didn't know how to place the angels along with his word.
Right.
Yeah, but then I dug that out and I thought, oh, it's God's enforcement on the earth of his word. Oh, okay.
Hallelujah.
That's a great explanation. I thought, okay, yeah, his word is his word and he sends angels. I said, why else would he send like Daniel, you know, he sent Gabriel to Daniel, and he got held up by the prince of Persia, but then Michael came and put him down, but still, you know, you got to have angels, because Satan has a million, billion, I don't know how many, one third of heaven got expelled, and they're down here trying to destroy us, simply put. And so, if he has them, God has his angels.
Amen.
To enforce his word, his will for us.
Amen.
And they're saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men.
Yep, so I just, it stuck in my brain when Sarah said that, you know, these angels coming around with you. All right, you guys, okay, let me in there. Let me touch her. Let me anoint her, you know. And
we all laugh.
I'm going to have that in my brain forever, I think. Yeah. And I think that's how God, we pray, it's heard.
Amen.
It said here what you were talking about. It said your prayer has been heard, Zacharias.
That's right.
And so we pray. We have to have faith. Hey, he's already got angels enforcing our prayer, you know, to do his will for us.
Amen.
Know, so.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's that's his way. You, when you stop and think about it, like I don't know which king of Judah, the Syrians laid siege to Jerusalem and all that, and they're worried about how they're going to take care of them. That one angel took care of 165 or 85,000. I can't remember the word. One angel wiped out that many. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine if you have several angels working for you?
It's exciting.
The enemy ain't got a chance around
Amen.
And we're seeing a lot of different things. Hallelujah.